Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you that we can come and worship together and focus our eyes upon you, the security we have in you, that you're working in our lives, you're working in this world. And you are our foundation, you are our steadfast trust. And so we thank you for that. Pray this morning that you would just anoint me to speak words of the Spirit and you would open each heart to receive what you have to say. And God, we just give this to you. And again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. We're going to start there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. Says this, Jesus was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, in this world we're living in now, which is kind of amazing, just people's approach to the truth and stuff, and you hear things, well, this is my truth and that's your truth and everything is relative, you know, it's like. And this is the world's thinking at this time. And what it leads to people aggressively attacking God's truth with their human manipulated truth. So it's just, that can't be. The only truth is God's truth. And of course, this leads to all sorts of foolishness, moral decay, and what have you. However, there's some truth that it's even hard for the... It's even hard for the deceived to distort. I mean, it's just so true, they just can't hardly distort it. Now, of course, you know, somebody can be so deceived that they jump out of a 50-story building and say they can fly. Okay, all right, you got some of those, but we can figure those out pretty quick. But, for instance, there are other things. There are other things. Certain things that we must acknowledge is true, is true. Now, for example, I would say Linda is my wife, okay? That's a truth. Now, she's not here this morning. She's not feeling too well, but that's a truth. And someone said, well, she's not there. You don't really have a wife. She's not your wife. The evidence will prove you wrong. It will prove you wrong in those uncertain terms. In fact, in my life, there's two constants. It's Jesus and her, okay? I mean, she is here. It reminds me of the reality, like, no, that's an absolute truth that she's here. About 15 years ago or something, I had I don't know what it was. I think they called it global amnesia or something. And for a day, I lost a whole day. Like, I lost a whole day. I don't remember what happened. And it was gone. And so Linda told me, and she's... And I guess that, you know, she realized pretty something was wrong. So she's talking to me. And I couldn't remember my children's names, grandchildren's names, anything. I couldn't just remember anything. And she said, do you know who I am? I said, oh, yeah, you're Linda. I mean, no, that you have global amnesia. No, she's constant even in global amnesia. No, they're not, you know, you can... Only lose your mind so far. Only so far, you know. So anyway, so that's we'll call Linda as everyone's truth around that. Now, okay, we'll pull out and we'll say, this is a chair, all right? And you just, you know, you got to believe, no, it's a chair. I mean, no, it's not a chair. Well, the evidence you go through and you're going to prove it's a chair. You know, I mean, it just is. It can't help but be a truth. And another truth is that Jesus died, buried, and resurrected. It is an absolute truth. You can say, well, I don't know that is true. I don't believe that. And I'm going to say, well, just like Linda, you're going to find out, no, that's true. It's going to be, you can't escape. That is an absolute truth. And what you do when you look at the evidence, and I'm talking non-believers. When you look at the evidence, you've got to come up with, you know, everything's pointing to that being the truth, that he was buried, he was resurrected. It's, you know, they can't get around it. They can't get around it. The facts are overwhelming. In fact, with going through our book that Woods was telling you about, evidence deserves a verdict. And so they had a chapter which was 1,000 pages long. I don't know. It's the longest chapter. And it was people telling about the confirmation of the resurrection. And it was people that didn't know Jesus or anything, where they looked at the facts. And when you stuck with the facts, there was some like, man, this is, something happened here. Something happened here. They couldn't help but accept that, no, there's truth about he definitely was buried and he was resurrected. I mean, there's an empty tomb, da-da, all that. But the facts and lead to see that he was resurrected. Now, unbelievers will say the facts, but they won't believe it or believe in him. But they said, no, this is, you know, just the hard, cold facts. That's something that we can see. So that's where we're coming up here, of course, according to this verse here, is that when people say, well, that's your truth and not my truth. And, no, that's the truth. That's going to be, that is everyone's truth, and it's going to be everyone's truth because the facts will prove it out. The facts will prove it out. And so we go with that. Now, plus there's something else about Jesus' resurrection. And this is, I mean, this is a game changer like that, because as believers, we know that Jesus is going to return. He's going to return. That's a fact, that he is going to return. Now, we as believers, okay, we see the resurrection, that's a fact, and when he returns. And I can just see this. Just picture this. Jesus returns. The guy said, that's not my truth. You know, it's like, no. I mean, he's going to say something like, uh-oh. Like, oh, my goodness. I mean, the Bible says, the very same, he said, every knee will bow. You know, well, they don't believe. They're going to bow. He's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. See, now, everybody, believers are going to be praising. Hallelujah. Jesus will return. But everybody else is going to see it. Everybody else is going to see it. It's not done in a corner. And so at that time, it's just confirmation. It is everyone's truth. Everyone's truth. So we don't. It just is. And so I think the point of going over is we should be extremely confident and say, no, Jesus died, buried, and rose. Well, that's, no. You look into it. That's what the fact. Well, something I don't believe. Okay, that's, you don't have to believe it. I said, but the facts say it. You can't call it my truth. It's standalone facts say it. And by the way, the fact he will return. That's truth. And it will be your truth because you will see him, whether you believe it or not. So that's extreme, you know, encouragement to us as believers. And we should be confident in that. Well, that's just your truth. Wait and see. You know, and nothing about, you know, drives people crazy that everything's relative. What drives them crazy is our confidence, you know, because it's like, no. This is the absolute truth. This is the absolute truth. Now, what's also interesting about the resurrection, it is the single fact. I mean, Christianity as a whole, you can think there's so many things in it. But the resurrection is a single fact that discounts all other religions. Resurrection discounts every religion. And it undermines worldly humanism. I mean, it just totally undermines by the very fact of the resurrection. You know, it's, you know, well, they were, and again, we'll go to the book. I wouldn't go bring this up. So, well, we'll go and such a place and we'll lay flowers and this is where Buddha was buried. You know, and we go such and such place and that's what they'll do. This is where Muhammad was buried. Well, ain't no place to go to where Jesus was buried. Ain't nothing. The grave's not a big deal. When you people die, it's a big deal. You know, when they, you may not know this, and this is a little gross, but I'll bring it up anyway, is when they killed Osama bin Laden, do you know what they did with him? You know, what they did with him? Put him in a sheet, verifies him, wrapped him up in a canvas bag, and dropped him in the ocean. You know why? He didn't want anybody worshiping at his tomb. That's what, I mean, the United States had enough sense to do that. They did not want anyone worshiping at his tomb. It dropped him in the ocean. Dropped him in the ocean. See? And so, but Jesus, you can go to Israel and say, well, they think Jesus was buried here. This is a hill, and you know, stuff. But there ain't nobody in it. You know, there's nobody in it, and they're not sure. And it's like, yeah, that's a hole in the rock, you know. But it's nobody lays. He's not there. See, the whole thing of Christianity, and it undercuts all other religions, because other religions don't have the resurrection. They don't have they have dead leaders. I was talking to this one guy, and he was in a cult. I'm not going to name it and stuff. We were discussing, and it kind of was a pseudo-Christian cult because he had typical Christian values and stuff, and telling about this guy and what his name was, and he's like, all about him. I said, okay, where is he now? Where is he now? And he's going, he says, he's dead. He's dead. I thought, well, bummer. I mean, I actually said that. Bummer, you know. I mean, it's like, the point, he's dead. you know, you're going to worship the dead guy. You know, he's dead. Jesus is not dead. He's resurrected. He's been resurrected. There's an empty tomb. And so we see that he is alive. Jesus is alive. Again, undercuts all other religions because they don't have a resurrection like that of their one who they're following. You know, now, granted, you know, some people have erroneous information, they're confused, and some aren't interested in the facts, and some are just deceived by the devil, so they don't care. Some people, you know, a lot of people don't care. A lot say, well, I don't believe, they just don't care. They haven't looked in the facts, they just don't care. And that's, I think that's the majority of people. But again, even to them, when Jesus returns, the fact will be clear, whether you like it or not. It will be clear. So it is as true as Linda being my wife. Okay, maybe that's a bad example, but it is as true, okay? And so, and it's not going to be a discussion point. It is not a discussion point. And everyone, it's like, you know. We'll see that return. Therefore, it becomes everyone's truth. Everyone's truth. And again, the historical evidence is just overwhelming for anyone who wants to look, but most people don't even want to look. Now, okay, so I'm saying all this just to be a word of encouragement. You know, when you're witnessing, sharing that, and just say to unbelievers, you need to ponder it. You need to research it. You need to research it, you know, ponder it. And because the evidence stands on its own. The evidence stands on. And there's all sorts of theories like, and I'm not going to get into it. Well, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. Well, all those theories have been disproved, all of them. It just doesn't make sense. It couldn't happen, you know. So it's all there for, and again, I'm not telling you to do it, you know. All right. I mean, when we're looking at this book, and I was exaggerating by 10 pages when I said it was 1,000 pages. I mean, that's the longest chapter. But it's over, and I read like the first page. I said, I get it. I don't want to read the rest of it. But it's there for anybody who wants to look. So I'm not, you don't have to look up all those references. But if anybody wants to look, look it up. Look it up. Well, they have this here. Look it up. It's already been disproved. Now, you can say that with confidence, even if you don't know what they're talking about, because it has been. It has been. See, it's been true. Fine. It's been disproved. It falls apart. It doesn't hold there. So I say that it's to be confidence you're talking of. No, this is why, but you check it. The facts prove. The facts show that that's a truth, that that's an absolute truth. Plus, if you want to go a step farther, whether you believe it or not, he will return, whether you believe it or not. He will return. And everything about my faith is he is resurrected, and he will return. Just simple, okay? It just really cuts to the, well, what about this? Jesus was resurrected, he's going to return. Okay, just focus the conversation. Because once they grasp that, the rest of the arguments just fall into the dust. You see what I'm saying? So be smart about how you argue that. Now, okay, so we think about that. So we think about the Lord. We think about the truth of the resurrection. And again, it's confidence for us that we believe it, but that we have confidence and just, we can, and I don't mean this as bad as it may sound. We don't mean to be, we don't need to be overwhelmed by other people's ignorance. I mean, it's a, like I may have a discussion and go out to dinner and talk and this evening and then have another study tonight and to discuss and prove that Linda's my wife. I mean, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. I'm not doing it. Now, you go look and find it. Stop by one night. Look, the facts are there. Ask around. The facts are there. So anyway, things of encouragement. Things of encouragement there that we need to be strong in what we believe in, but focus on those things with facts and don't get caught up to the insanity. The people, anti-fact people, because they're anti-fact people, there's no foundation. They're just swirls. Because they can't settle on anything solid because there's nothing solid. It's a constant swirl. So if anything you bring up, it swirls. Bring some, it swirls. So you, and if they really succeed, if they suck you into their swirl, then you get as confused as them. You're like, oh my God. You know, no, just stand on the rock. No. Jesus is alive, resurrected. He's coming back. Well, you just narrowed the conversation. They're still on a swirl, but you're standing on a rock. And it's real easy to do, to stand on the rock. Okay? Stand on the rock. Now, so with that, we say, okay, well, I knew that. I didn't have to come here this morning to hear you tell me. But anyway, I wanted to encourage you again to, you know, focus on that. But also, for us, Jesus' resurrection reveals another incredible truth, all right, that we're holding on to. Anybody know what that is? We will be resurrected. We will be resurrected. The reason we know, and the Bible is clear, and it states it like this, the reason we know we will be resurrected is because Jesus was resurrected. I mean, we just didn't think it up. You know, okay, and here, explain. No, I'm putting all my money on this one thing. He was resurrected. I totally believe that. The facts say that. Therefore, the Bible says, since he was resurrected, you will be resurrected. So there, when it comes home, now it comes home. No. So now the confidence is very personal. That is cool with Jesus. But no, that means I will be resurrected. That means you will be resurrected. And the Bible swirls around that fact, but swirls around Jesus and his resurrection. You know, and so we're just confident about that, but that means we're going to be resurrected. Now, I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52. Paul says, now he's talking about the resurrection. We started off the resurrection, the first our opening verse in chapter 15. Now he says this. Now listen, behold, I tell you a mystery. Jesus, okay, he's already told us Jesus resurrected. Okay, now I'll tell you, man, you don't know that, but let me tell you this mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now they don't use in these words like this, they don't use die, and I think the reason they don't use you're not going to die because it's like permanent. Okay, you're dead, you're done, you're fried, it's over. And he, you know, you're not going to die, you go to sleep. You sleep. But the reference is, when they use it like this, it means you die. Okay, you physically die. That's what it means when it uses the word sleep. So you can see that. Okay, here's the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, whoa, what is this nonsense? Not everybody's going to die, you know, but we'll shall be changed. And it says this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And just think of process a twinkling eye. Okay? Twinkle, twinkle. He said, okay, we're going to be changed in a twinkle. I mean, how fast is that? A twinkle, we're going to be changed. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. You know what that means? Imperishable. You grab your cheek, okay? Like, okay. Guess what? This perishes. This perishes. It just does, you know. Linda and I were talking the other day, we went out to eat, and we go, you know, this is perishing. We're not like we were when we were 21, you know. It just perishes. It's going to perish. It's perishable. It's perishable. And it's going to, you're going to end up dying. You're going to shed it, and there's nothing you can get out of it. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, it's 100%. You know, you're looking for some facts, and I'll say, you're going to die. Well, that's not my truth. Hey, God, it's going to happen. You know, okay, so I'm making a point. All right, it says, we're perishable. But what happens? We're going to be raised what? Imperishable. Imperishable. We're going to be raised before the imperishable with a body that will not perish, that is eternal. And it's not like, okay, we'll be a spirit floating around out there. No, it's in a body, I believe somewhat similar to what we have, you know. But, you know, function-wise, I mean, I don't think people are going to have three arms and four ears. I mean, it's going to function-wise, it's going to be like that. But it's going to be imperishable for eternity. It'll never change. It's imperishable. We're going to be raised imperishable at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. It's changed. Now, here's a promise. And so we're looking at, well, man, this, how do we know this? How do we can put our arms around it? How do we know this? It's Jesus was resurrected. That's how we know it. Because he was resurrected. He was resurrected. He saw people. He talked to people. Thomas, you don't believe I was crucified? Put your hand in the hole of my hand. And Thomas goes, oh, my Lord, my God. You know, that's kind of like Thomas didn't believe. He goes, came in the disciples, we saw Jesus. He goes, no, that's not my truth, that's your truth. He didn't say that. I think he thought that. But then Jesus showed up. He goes, oh, my Lord, my God. You know, I'm in. See, that's what, it's truth. His resurrection is true. Now, because of that truth, we know that we're going to be raised imperishable for all eternity. For all eternity. That's the purpose. And we're going to be changed. Jesus will return. The dead will be resurrected. And the ones still alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now, so Paul was aware of this. And because he was aware of it, he looked forward to it. Look forward. How many of you, I'll just be glad and I go be with Jesus. I had a friend of mine. Hey, this guy, I just love this guy. And he was at this last day I gotta live on this earth and I can go be with Jesus. I mean, he said it every day. I mean, just last day. Well, he got really sick and the ambulance had to take to hospital. I was actually there. He says, I'm thinking, not today. It was like, and he thought, not today. You know, this is a little too close to comfort for me anyway. And then he's still alive, you know. But what Paul did, Paul had a glimpse of heaven. He was caught up in the third heaven. He said, I saw things I can't even explain. I can't even repeat. He said, I can't even repeat what I saw, all right? And so, but Paul saw heaven, understood heaven, and he said, man, that's where I want to be there. That's where I want. And I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. Because he saw heaven, and I assume the resurrected Christ there. I say the whole thing, I guess. I mean, he didn't go into the details. He just said he was there. So look at what Paul said. Totally believed Jesus was resurrected. Totally believed he was going to be resurrected. And had a glimpse of heaven. And had a glimpse of heaven. Taken up and shown, and then brought back down. All right? Only person in the Bible I know that happened to is the Apostle Paul. Oh, you know why it showed it to him? Which is why I don't want to see it. He said, I'm going to show this to you so you know how much you have to suffer. Great. I mean, just don't show me. I believe you. I don't cut out the suffering part. I'm big into cutting out the suffering part. But anyway, so here's Paul. So here's Paul's comment. So he's talking out of concrete evidence that he saw. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. He said this, "For me to live is Christ," or "I'm living for Christ." Okay? First Philippians 1, verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So what he's saying? No, I'll live for Christ, but for to die, gain. No, I'm gaining a bunch when I die. To die is gain. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." Okay, I gotta stay. Okay, there's so much God's gonna use my. All right, I see the purpose to stay, but man, my heart's is to depart and be with Christ. I don't know what I'll choose. I know I got work here to do, and there'll be blessing. Oh no, but it's so much better to be with Christ. That's his vision. He saw it. Do you think that impacted his thinking his entire life? Everything he looked, that's impacted his thinking. Yeah. I'm here. I got stuff to do. Man, I just want to be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. See? Go be with him. Which tells you something also. When you die in the spirit, you immediately go be with Jesus. All right. You know, it's like, okay, somebody's going to bury me. I'm going to spend all these things the ground until Jesus comes back. No, spiritually go with him at time. That's another message. But anyway, he saw this. So death, here's an important thing for us, we know as believers, because we believe in the resurrection of Christ. This is our point, just because we believe that. Okay? That's what pulls us in this direction. Death is not the end. Death is a door we pass through to be with Christ. Based on Jesus' resurrection, the undeniable truth is that we also will be caught up into heaven and spend eternity with Jesus. That's what death is. Eternity with Jesus. That's what he tells us. That's confidence. It's like, you know, we're supposed to be productive and praise God in this world. But this is, I think, one of the songs, it's not our home. It's not our home. Our home is in heaven. We're here for a job, but our home is in heaven. Our eternal purpose is in heaven. Our gifts and reward are in heaven. Please forgive me as I diverge, but you know, one of the verses I just love in 1 Corinthians, it talks about to people, and Paul said you know, you really need to, you know, make an effort to serve the Lord and do things that God wants you to. And it says, when you do these things God wants you to, you will get a reward in heaven for that. I mean, it just says that that's what will happen to you. But then he says this, and the analogy is great. He says, some of you, you're not going to do nothing. He's talking to believers. You're going to heaven, but you got nothing. He says, you're going to go into heaven like escaping through a fire. And everything that you've done on earth is going to be burned up. Now picture this. I got my stuff. I got my stuff. And I go to heaven, and I go through the fire, and it's burned up. And excuse me for this terrible analogy. And I was saying, Jesus made you. I'm here in my underwear, but I made it. I made it, you know. And I mean, that's what he's saying. You're in, brother. But then no rewards, and the things you had all, it burned up. And that's what you, like escaping through the fire, burned up. And it says, but you will escape. You don't burn up. Just everything you took with you burns up. And so you're there. And I don't know, that's a motivation for me. I just have this picture of me standing before the Lord in my underwear, and I just like, you know, maybe I'll do something. I just hate that thought, you know. But that's what it says. But it didn't say I'd be there in my underwear. That's me. But okay, but do you see how this all fits together? It's all tied. There's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. How do we know? Because Jesus was resurrected, and people saw him. They saw him. He returned and appeared to Paul, talked to Paul. You know, I mean, people saw him. Based on that, we believe in the resurrection, because that's what Jesus said. And so this is the little details about that resurrection. So it's undeniable. And said, the dead and the living will be caught up, because you come back, world functioning, okay, comes back, whoosh, the dead. Well, what about if I'm not dead? What if I'm here and he just took the dead? What about I'm here? He said, you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You'll be caught up. You'll be caught up. Okay. So, you won't have to. Now, here is, and there's not an overhead for this, but if you want to follow along on it, and it talks about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. And you may note this because it's an interesting verse here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 15. No overhead, but I'll just read it to you. Paul says, in this whole conversation, he says, we do not want you to be uninformed. Now he said, you don't know. I don't want you to be uninformed, so I'm telling you something. We do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep. Those who are dead. I don't want you uninformed about those who are dead. Because they're dead. I said, man, we got all this. Aunt Susie's dead. And man, I said, they're dead. And he said, no, I don't want you uninformed about those who are dead, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Now, that is reasons, and I'm not totally bought into this, but this is where a lot of people, when Christians, I said, we'll have a celebration of life. Well, this is based on that. They're alive. They'll celebrate. I mean, personally, when I die, I hope a few of you shed some tears. You know, I mean, I hope you're not too happy I'm gone. Anyway, but it's, you know, each his own. But what it is, it's like the thing, it's when a Christian funeral, you go, and they're with the Lord. Why? Because Jesus was resurrected. We know that person would be resurrected, because he trusted in Jesus. It's all based on Jesus' resurrection. And we don't want you to grieve like he's gone for eternity. Boy, some of the saddest things I've ever been to is unbelievers' funerals. I mean, just wailing and, you know, people that care, you know, because they don't have any hope. But it says here, he didn't want us to grieve as others who do not have hope. See, we have hope because Jesus resurrected. See, and this is the next verse that says this. This is why we have hope, verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, okay, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. When he comes for those that are alive, he'll bring with it the ones that have died. Don't grieve because they're with Jesus. That's what he said. You don't have to grieve because they're with Jesus. Verse 15, for this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, now okay, the dead have been resurrected. Okay, we're here. Graves are empty. We're here. That we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have died. Now see, he's explaining to these folks, he's like, well, these people are dead, you said they're going to heaven, and Jesus comes. What about me? I'm still here. He says, and I also will catch you up in the twinkling of an eye. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Now, so Jesus' return makes this everyone's truth. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a fact. It's a fact. Linda's my wife. That's a chair. and Jesus will return. All facts. They're irrefutable facts. Irrefutable facts that will be proved out by facts. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Eternity. We have hope. For eternity, we have hope. Paul knew this, and he said, don't grieve like people that don't know. Don't grieve. No, because you're going to be with the Lord. There's a resurrection. You'll be caught up. That's what he's telling them. He says, you're grieving. You don't have to grieve. Don't grieve, you know. Don't grieve about that, because they're with the Lord. Right here. Now, we're going to go into this, and this is fascinating, I think. It said, the dead will be raised first. However, it is clear that the living also will be caught up to heaven. We know this as the rapture. It's the rapture. Okay? I was talking to not name names or anything. And good church, good believing, Christ died for it, and doesn't believe in the rapture. Just doesn't believe it and goes through. And I just, all right, that's fine. No sense arguing about it. It's going to happen. I mean, believe it or not, okay, it didn't happen, or it did happen. But I believe the Bible clearly says in this verse, it will happen. When Jesus comes back, the dead are caught up, the live will be caught up also first. So the church will be caught up in the rapture. In the rapture. When Jesus returns, this is the end times, when he returns. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says this, for we, dead have been caught up, for we who are alive, who are left. I mean, there it is. We who are alive, we who are left, we're still here, who are left, will be caught up together with them who? The one that had been resurrected before us, out of the grave, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so always be with the Lord. And all God's people said, hallelujah. I mean, oh my gosh, hallelujah. So all Jesus had just got scooped up, all the believers. There's a home in heaven. There's a home in heaven for all of those. He got the ones that have died and the ones who haven't died yet. They've been caught up into air forever to be with the Lord in the heaven. Now, the Bible gives us some examples of what this will look like, which is really helpful. You know, you think, well, how did, I don't know, you know. Matthew 24, 41 through 42, talking about the subject, gives us an example of what it's going to look like, in case you're wondering what it's look like. Okay, Matthew 24, 41. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. I always think about, what about the one left? Like, oh, that's quick. You know, I mean that. 42. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. What day is the Lord coming? We don't know. So all those folks that tell you when the Lord's coming, you don't know. The Bible tells you, you don't know. You do not know, okay? The first way you can tell someone is totally illegitimate is if they tell you, well, the Lord's coming this day. I would put money on that day because he ain't coming, you know, because you know the guy's wrong. We're going to bet against him. But we see here, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. So again, these are all things that Paul is promising so we aren't fearful. We are not afraid, what you hear. Now, at the time of the rapture, the world, you ever think about what the world, what is the world going to be like? At the time of the rapture, the world is in deep, deep trouble. Because the church, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, is also the restraining force of all evil. Did y'all know that? Did you know that you, as a believer, we as a church, and I mean universal, is the restraining force against evil. Now, God does what he wants to do, and he does it, but God works through the Holy Spirit, through his believers, and through his believers, he restrains evil. Amen? I mean, that makes sense. That's just, I mean, again, God can intervene, do what he wants to do. I'm not trying to say, okay, you can't do that, God. He do what he wants to. But in is a general reason and understanding, we understand the Holy Spirit resides in this earth, in believers, and it resides in the church. When the church is removed, evil will run wild. What happened? You just removed the church and evil will run wild. Even today, as the church becomes ineffective or retreats, its restraining power against evil is diminished. You know, just kind of we give up ground. Its strength is diminished. And Satan becomes bolder. So you can see Satan's becoming bolder. The church gives up ground, and Satan becomes bolder. I mean, you just see it, okay? You just see this happening. Now, we also know, the Bible tells us, that evil is at work now, that Satan is at work now. It tells us several places in Scripture, evil is at work, Satan is at work. But we said, but God's restraining Satan, and he's restraining Satan through the church. See, the church, the Holy Spirit, is restraining Satan. Church steps back, becoming ineffective. Satan becomes bolder. I mean, it's kind of a cause-effect thing. Now, he's never quit. I mean, he's pounding away all the time. But it gives us understanding. Now, the verses that tie it together is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6 through 8. Now, what I did, some of the places it uses, you know, like a pronoun, it and we and they. And so I put the name in there so you can double-check me, okay? You can double-check me on that. But just to help understand it, I did that. So you can know that that's not in the Scripture, but I think it's the reference to the person I put in there in context. Okay, so here we have to understand that the Holy Spirit restrains evil. Satan's at work. He's busy. He said, Bible tells us that. Whole world's under control of the evil one, but we are the children of God. I mean, that's 1 John. Okay, now 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. And you know, okay, what is he saying? You know. He's telling you know. Okay, so we know this. And you know what is straining him now. What is restraining the evil one? You know what's restraining the evil one now. The Holy Spirit. You know what is restraining him now. The Holy Spirit, so that he, the lawless one, may be revealed in his time. He's revealed in his time. But right now, the Holy Spirit's restraining him. They use the word. You know what's restraining him. What? The evil one from coming. You see what it's saying there? That's what it's saying. Who are we restraining? You're restraining him. The evil one. The lawless one. Why? So that he will be revealed in his time. Meaning now it's not the time. I'm restraining him. Okay? Verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And God's people said what? Amen. I mean, why is this? How could that? I don't believe. No. That's, it's at work. I'm telling you, that's where it's coming from. It's not just some silly people. It is the evil one working through silly people. See, you need to know, you know, where the game's played. You need to know where the game's played. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it, wait a minute, he who now restrains it, who's that? Holy Spirit. Only he who now restrains it, the Holy Spirit, will do so until he, the Holy Spirit, is out of the way. He's going to hold him back until he's out of the way. Where are you going? My interpretation, I'm going with the church. Then I'll be out of the way. Church will be out of the way. See? So, See how the flow here is. So he who now restrains it, which is the Holy Spirit, will do so until the Holy Spirit is out of the way. Verse, and then after the Holy Spirit's out of the way, after the church is out of the way, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Nobody's going to revolt against the Antichrist and get rid of him. Jesus is going to come back and speak the word and kill him, the breath of his mouth. See, that's his words. See, this is where all this is going. Now, why? I said, what? Where are you telling? Because we need to understand what is doing. God didn't know, you know what's going on. He says, I know exactly what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. And I'm letting you know what is going on so that you can understand. Okay? After the rapture, evil will reign and Antichrist will come. After the tribulation, Jesus personally will destroy the Antichrist by the breath of his mouth. Although we do not know the time of Jesus' return. Remember, I just said that. Okay. I'm good. Although we don't know the time of Jesus' return, God tells us the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and there is evidence that Satan is getting bolder. There's evidence again. I didn't say Jesus got, but there's just evidence that Satan is getting bolder. We know what's happening. We know. All right? We know. And so we have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. So we can understand what's happening when evil reigns. The coming of the lawless one is because this guy's so cool, smart, and can do everything well and helps all the people. Okay? No. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power of false signs and wonders. This guy, one bad dude, but he's going to come with all the power and activity Satan. He's got some punch to what he says. He's going to enforce what he says. And he's going to have evil spiritual power behind him to enforce what he says. It's not just him. And again, God's just telling us. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Those non-believers are going to buy into this because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. What? They don't love the truth. That's not my truth. That's your truth. They're going to get it. You know, they're going to get their truth. Therefore, God sends these unbelieving who don't love the truth. They're deceived. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe the lie. Now, I'm thinking, okay, God, these people don't believe. You're going to send down lightning, and Jesus is going to appear and say, hallelujah. All these people are going to fall on their knees and worship Jesus. And that's not what he does. I've told you, shared the gospel. My truth is constant, my truth. And you've turned it off. You don't believe God's truth. That's your truth. That's my truth. That's not the truth. Everything is relative. And God says, fine. I will send you a strong delusion. He is going to make God, the Almighty God, is going to make it worse for the unbelieving. That's what he says. He's going to make it worse for them. Based on their decision, he is going to send them a strong delusion. They're going to believe this nonsense. They're going to believe it. They're going to believe the lie. They're going to believe the lie. They're going to buy in. In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. The truth. We don't believe the truth. Your truth, my truth. Well, okay. This is what I'm going to send you a delusion. Why? Because you didn't believe the truth. I mean, it's right. He's telling us. Don't be confused. Don't be confused. This is what's happening. Don't be confused. And said they will be who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Had a good time being bad. I mean, it just had pleasure in unrighteousness. The activity of Satan will powerfully promote evil, anti-God influence, anti-truth. See, you recognize this. See, you how many of you have done this? How can they say that? How many times guys said, well, this is why, right here, because they powerfully promote evil, anti-God influence. They peddle it. It's against the truth. The truth, our truth, which is relative in their mind, and God said, there will be wicked deception because people will refuse to love the truth of God. The issue is people reject God and the truth. See, when you see this stuff, well, that's my your truth and everything. That is so demonic, and we should go, uh-oh, this is not good. Okay, because all that can help this and what God says, I'm going to send the delusion, I'm going to make them worse, and his judgment is coming, so we have a sense like, you know, you're not looking good, you know. I know that he's going to take care of us, but we can see Satan's getting bold. He's getting bold. But there's something tied to being how ineffective the church is. Now, what are we supposed to do? Go out and carry signs, which I'm against carrying signs there. No, but we stand for Christ and resurrection. See, that, I mean, that's it. And why that's so, that is so hard for people and so irritating to people, because we say it's the truth. It's the truth. It's fact. It's the truth. What? Jesus did, buried, and rose. It's the truth. You know. And so he's telling us right here. So it's like, okay, therefore, because of all this, God does something. We all say, God do something. Therefore, God will send them a strong delusion and they'll believe the lie. That's not what I had in mind. I thought, do something else. But no, I'm going to make it. I'm going to send them delusion. They're going to believe. They're going to get worse. They're going to get worse. Don't expect these folks to get better. Once they deny, they're not getting better. Not getting. Well, God can do something. Yeah, he will. He's going to send a strong delusion that they believe the lie. He said he would do something because they've rejected the truth. These blinded people enjoy unrighteousness. Thus, they will be doomed under God's condemnation. Now, people really don't like to hear that. They really, really don't like to hear that. But it's the truth. I mean, it's the truth. All right, so here we go. Wrap it up here. Don't be discouraged. We don't need to be discouraged. God knows full well what's going on. God is protecting and empowering his believing church. We may periodically suffer from the evils of this world, but we will never suffer wrath of God. We will never suffer wrath of God. Never. Go through some tough times here, but we'll never suffer wrath. It's a promise of God. Until Jesus returns, we have a job to do and the authority and the power to do it. Now I'm going to read that again. I'm going to talk about this a little bit next week. And we don't think we do. We're sitting here, like, oh man, this is terrible. You can't believe it. I'm not getting out of the house. I'm not watching television anymore. I mean, I've said that. I'm not watching. This is driving me crazy. But God says, no way, man. He says, you know what's going on? God's protecting us. He's empowering his believing church. He's given the church power to deal with everything around them by standing for him. Now, and so until Jesus returns, we have a job to do and the authority and the power to do it. He said, you have the authority and the power to do it. The power, Christ who dwells in you, he gives you authority and power to stand for him. He said, and it may be as simple to say, I believe in the resurrection. I mean, we'll go out and, you know, I don't know, take a ton of food to some foreign country. All right. But I think it's more simple. Like, no, you stand, I believe in the resurrection. Or something similar. I mean, that's what it is. I'm just saying, no, that's truth. That's my, no, it's the truth. And you're going to see it. It's happening. Facts behind it. Yeah, facts are behind it. So God tells us, because of that, God tells us, the church, to give thanks and take courage. Now remember, all through 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, he's telling these people, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. This is happening. I'm just telling you what's happening. Don't be discouraged. And here's chapter 15, the last couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 15. He ends with this, 1 Corinthians 15:57. So you see this end it, and you say, oh, my God, you know, I want to weep and gnash my teeth and just, oh, gosh, you know, you just don't want to come out of your bedroom. But Jesus, no, because I told you, you know what's going on. You know what God's doing, and he's taking care of it. He's moving supernatural power. And he ends 1 Corinthians 15 with this, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not, this is not a downer for Paul. He's not, we got Jesus. I mean, we got Jesus. Praise God. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is resurrected, you know, like that. And so he even goes farther and tells us what we're supposed to do, you know, real specific. Verse 58. Therefore, what was therefore? We're thanks God, and God has given us the victory through Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable. Now this is, I think, what drives these people nuts. Everything's relative. It's somebody who's steadfast and immovable. That's why we're such an irritation, because we're steadfast and immovable. We don't shake. I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, by us being steadfast and immovable, you know what we're saying? We don't say anything, but you know what we're saying? And again, excuse me, this is me talking. You're going, we are saying, you're an idiot. We are. We're just saying, you're an idiot. Well, what? No, I'm just here. What'd you? I believe Jesus rose. Believes in him. He's in return. You know? It's the truth. That's the truth. I mean, that. We don't have to go too deep on that, all right? So here we're, therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. What is your labor? I believe in the resurrection. Now, I think there's a lot of other things we can do, okay? But you start there. Now, that's not in vain. I mean, God and angels in heaven go get them. You see, I believe in the resurrection. I believe I'm going to be right. I believe Jesus is going to return. Now, there's lots of other things we can say, but it's built on that foundation. So if those openings come up, just don't get caught in people's swirl. I was reading a book, and I'll close with this, but fascinating book talking about some of this stuff. And it says one of the way this anti-establishment group of people, and one of the things they're doing, and they're getting it done, and they work through different colleges and stuff, they're redefining terms. So if they'll say a term and then they redefine it. So you use the term, well, they've redefined it. You know, so they're trying to change the language to substantiate what they're doing. Well, since truth is relative, why not change it? I mean, it just like goes crazy, you know. Stay out of those arguments. What do you think of that? I believe Jesus resurrected. He's coming back. Okay, so anyway, they'll need a straitjacket after you say that to them. I mean, it just drives people crazy. See? So the encouragement, keep it simple. Stand on your beliefs. Stand on how? Steadfast, immovable. Immovable. What are you immovable on this issue, and this issue? No, you're immovable on Jesus. He's resurrected. He's coming back. That's what you're immovable on. Now, again, we believe salvation. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. You know, he empowers us. I mean, there's whole other things we believe. But just keep it simple and then expand out on that as you have the opportunities, as people shows an interest. But don't get sucked into their swirl. Amen? Hallelujah. So are we encouraged? We have to hinge this. It's meant to be encouraging. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Thessalonians, I don't want you to grieve like everybody else is grieving. Don't do that. We're good. We're good here. We're good. That's what he said. So be encouraged. Have confidence. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. And Lord, this all this stuff is happening, and you're just telling us what's going on, that we can be confident. And you're telling us that you're protecting your people, you're protecting your church, and you're doing a mighty work. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray through the Holy Spirit, you continue to speak to each one of us. And Lord, above all things, we thank you that you came and died upon the cross for our sins. And by believing upon you, we are forgiven. We are forgiven, and we have a home because we believe that you died on the cross for our sins. And you have confirmed it because once you were buried, you were resurrected. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.